Hello and welcome to Ahead of the Eight Ball. We're being told every day that cricket is turning into baseball. I'm joined by my brother David Tickner.
Hello.
And Peter Miller, aka the Cricket Geek, to explain why that's a load of bollocks. Sam Curran said it after Johnny Bairstow boffed some runs for the Punjab Kings. Literally saying cricket is turning into baseball, full stop. Is it?
No. I think this is one where, like, not normally you just wind me up and let me go, but I'm just going to sort of take a back seat on this one and just let Pete talk. I might even let him have 30 seconds uninterrupted.
What, like you just did? Ben
Miller's the man for this. He's the baseball geek, really.
So I probably should talk about why I might be someone who can talk about this. I watch, I think, probably what would be known as a fuck ton of baseball. To give you an example, I'm a Texas Rangers fan. They won the World Series last year, which was amazing. I got to go and see them when I was at Major League Cricket, which blew my mind. The Globe Life Field is the coolest stadium I've ever been in my life. Oh my God. I mean, I could do 40 minutes on how cool that is. But so Texas Rangers have played 30 games so far since the 28th of March, and I've watched every single one to the extent that my wife's going, "What are we doing tonight?" And I'm looking at her going, "I'm watching last night's baseball game, love. I don't know what you're doing. Just whatever you want." Like, So I watch a lot of baseball. I've always liked it. Maybe in the last 3-4 years, I got more into it. And then baseball changed the loads of the rules to make it quicker, which I think cricket's something that should do. There's now pitch clocks and all that kind of stuff. And it moves so fast now that it's quite good. But here's the thing. Home runs in baseball don't happen very often. They're like a big thing.
How many in a game have you got? How many innings do you have?
So there's 9 innings in a baseball game. And this season in Major League Baseball, when I looked it up, there are 0.9 home runs per game in a Major League game. Yeah.
One per game.
Maybe, you know, if you're like, you could be lucky and you could see 2 or 3, right? Yeah. In the IPL, when you asked me to do this podcast, I was like, oh, what's it like for this IPL season? So there are something like 17 or 18 sixes on average in an IPL game. And to hit a six is way easier than hitting a home run.
Yeah. Is that where it comes from? Just home run, hitting it out of the ground, all that. Is that what people are suggesting it is? Cross bat, boss.
I think there's ultimately a misconception about what baseball is, right? And I think people were thinking home run derby, which happens for one afternoon a season around the All-Star game. Yeah. And that is literally like it's such a joke thing. No one cares about it. It's just a bit of fun. Yeah. Like, it's not taken massively seriously. Like, the people who will be tossing the ball for them will be the player's dad or his brother.
It's basically range hitting, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's what you would do at range hitting. So it's like, and it's not, it's literally just, you know, when you go to the cricket these days and you'll see someone throwing full tosses to a batter who'll be playing pull shots on it just to hit you feel the middle of the bat. That's what it is. Like, it's not a serious thing. It's not a competition. No proper baseball fan would be able to tell you, oh, the person who won the home run derby and whatever is whatever. Like, I didn't watch it last year. Just like whatever, not interested. Yeah.
And as we've established, watching baseball is your thing now.
It's well, you know, basically cricket, baseball, poker are my three things, right? If you end up if all of a sudden people are talking about going all in or holding the best hand or whatever in cricket, then I'm hopeful I get another invite back to the podcast.
I'll be even more out of my depth on that one.
Yeah,
it's been a good just bored.
It's been a good 2024 on the poker front. So I think that's ultimately what it boils down to. But I think there's a basic misunderstanding of how baseball works, right? Baseball is a pitcher's game. That's who wins and loses a baseball game. There's more pitchers in a lineup than there is any other in a squad than there is any other position. Yeah. And if you have a very good pitcher pitching for you, chances are you'll win that game. Right. And actually just getting a hit is really difficult. Like, it's not easy. So the best player ever in the history of baseball in terms of hits, and some would say the best, people will talk about Babe Ruth. There's a guy called Ty Cobb, and Ty Cobb hit the baseball an average of just under 40% of the times he went out to bat. So a baseball average will be given to you as point and then three numbers. That's the percentage. So The good players have a 250 average, which means 25% of the time they'll hit the ball. Yeah.
Is that just making contact?
No, that's getting on base.
Hitting it and getting
Right.
on base.
Right, gotcha.
So if you hit the, if you, so they'll hit the ball, but they've then got to try and hit it past the fielder and get on base. Yeah. So it's hitting the ball, getting on base. And then, like, you don't even get credit if the fielder mucks up, right? If there's a muck up, that doesn't count towards you. That counts against the fielder as an error, right? So then you'll have, you know, on base percentage plus slugging. Oh, if you think cricket stats are weird, boys, oh, baseball stats. Let's talk about whip or expected win loss and Pythagorean
No,
bloody.
what?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so much shit that goes on in baseball. It's brilliant. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's the game for you, right?
We've had this conversation before, haven't we, Pete? And I said that I think deep down, every cricket fan would be a baseball fan if exposed to it. Like, part of the reason that I'm not really is that I've made a conscious choice
To be an
because I
arsehole and was,
know
because I know what you're
if
like. You'd rather say it was shit than
No,
have
I
to
don't think
learn.
it's shit at all. I don't think it's shit at all. But I know if I get even a little bit into baseball, I'll get Miller level into baseball,
Right.
and I don't have time or space in my life to have another sport to get that annoyed and rattled
Yeah, and I
about.
think the
And
thing is as
that's
well,
what would
like,
happen to me.
I don't have a.
I've watched enough to know I'd fucking love baseball if I gave it proper time and attention. So I can't risk it.
I don't have a strong enough personality to be this obsessed about two shit sports like cricket and baseball, right? That's the real concern. That's the worry for me, is that these sports are so weird. Yeah. And like the thing is, well, like cricket fans should love baseball because there's so much stuff in it that's just conventions that
Unwritten
unwritten
rules.
rules. Like you're
Spirit
not
of
allowed to
baseball is a thing.
if you flip your bat after you've hit someone, but not very well. Like it's okay to do it after you've smashed the really important home run, but if you do it after that, they'll be like, "What are you doing? You can't flip your bat because you've just hit."
Is that disrespect?
Yeah, like there's
Yeah.
all of this stuff in there that's just so
Spirit
weird.
of cricket noise, that level.
Oh, does baseball
Loads
have
of
that
it.
thing that a lot of American sports have where it's considered poor form to twat the opposition, like
Well,
too much?
you're not allowed to. Yeah, not massively. No, I
I've
mean,
always been fascinated by that because it feels
yeah.
real un-American somehow, that
Yeah,
idea
but
that you're not allowed to batter someone.
what you can do, if what can happen is you'll have what they call position players pitching. Yeah, so you d need to have nine players on a baseball team, right? And now across both leagues, it ends up being 10 because you used to have it just in the National League that you would have a designated hitter for the pitcher, so the pitcher never hit. And then around COVID, around that time, they decided they were going to have it for both leagues. So both leagues, you'll have nine players, including the pitcher, but the pitcher has someone who hits for him, who's their designated hitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's their job. Their job is they don't field, they don't do anything else. They just go out and hit. So basically, baseball's Chris Gayle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
I don't think he's going to be here.
I doubt he'll
He's a
listen to me.
keen listener. Always
Next
sends
time.
us tweets.
Next time he sends me a
He
WhatsApp
doesn't.
to ask me to play golf, but I have to say no because I'm too hungover. I'll bring this up. That's a good story.
Didn't take long, did it, mate?
Nah, I was just waiting for that.
Didn't take long. Cut
Can't
that
remember
out, Chris.
exactly where we set the over under on when
Yeah.
peak first Caribbean cricket
Yeah.
anecdote and name drop would be, but
Pete
can
is
you
a
cut?
pitch name dropper, so
Yeah.
Can you cut that out?
No.
Chris Gayle was 1-3, by the way.
So anyway, so you'll have. So like, and now you've got like the biggest name in baseball. I mean, for me, it's Ellie De La Cruz who plays for the Cincinnati Reds because he is unbelievable. He's like 6'4" and hits left and right-handed gun fielder and can run between the bases in about 4 seconds. He's unbelievable, right? But there's a Japanese guy called Shohei Ohtani, right? And Shohei Ohtani is massive because Shohei Ohtani pitches and hits, right? So he'll play as a designated hitter every game, but every fifth or sixth game, he'll be your starting pitcher, right? So you don't actually have to have a designated hitter because he's good. And that's very Babe Ruth areas, right? He ended up being the MVP for the season despite being injured halfway through.
Is
If he
he a
kept going,
genuine all-rounder?
genuine all-rounder. So, and
See,
he's
it's just cricket. It's exactly the
yeah.
same.
So, and then as well, like the idea of switch hitters is great, right? And this is something that really winds me up. And to get back beyond me just getting excited about baseball, let's talk about the things people say, right? I saw someone say, the problem with baseball is it lacks nuance, right? And that is so far from the case. Baseball's all nuance and very little action, right? It's just about putting the right players against the right players. So you'll have the situation like game last night, right? Texas Rangers played against the Washington Nationals. One of their really exciting prospects is a guy called Evan Carter. Evan Carter bats left-handed, and he isn't great against left-handed pitchers. Yeah. So traditionally speaking, that's why switch hitters are strong, because it's easier for a right-handed pitcher to hit against the left-handed. You want left and right switch between them, right? For a left-handed hitter, it's harder to hit against a left-handed pitcher. So yesterday, Evan Carter, one of their best players, didn't play. They picked someone else as their DH, right? And then as soon as the left-handed pitcher came out of the game, Evan Carter's back in the game because there's a right-handed pitcher. And the idea that that nuance doesn't exist is just so
I
silly. Like
think
you had.
that's really it, isn't it? With where cricket fans are wrong about baseball if they've not watched it, is that there's the idea that everything is just swinging for the bleachers. And I think it's that. It's not so much that, because like we know that the number of home runs is nothing like the number of sixes in any run-of-the-mill T20. But when people say, "Oh, cricket's turning into baseball," I think what they specifically mean is that they think every time a baseball player swings the bat, he's trying to hit a home run. That there's no other kind of play. And I think that's the mistake that people make.
And what they need to understand is that baseball and cricket are the same, but the plane on which you play it on is different, right? Because in baseball, you have this floating area in front of your chest that you need to defend. Yeah. And in cricket, it's a vertical thing off the ground. So by its very nature, cricket's ended up having vertical shots that are considered to be proper shots because you're looking to defend, right? Whereas in baseball, you're looking to play horizontally because that's where the ball's going to be. Yeah. The pitcher has to be putting it between your knees and your shoulders. And as a result, you can't be playing a forward defensive because it's not going to be there. Yeah. So cricket has it in its head that a swing cross batted is by its very nature an attacking and dangerous shot. Whereas in baseball, they're the shots you have to play. But someone said to me on Twitter, I can't remember, Norfield something or other, when I was tweeting about this. And he said to me, and I thought I summed it up so well, right? The most important shot in baseball is the leave.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Nasser is saying love it.
But this is the thing, is that, so
That
you'll
judgment,
have,
isn't it? That's
yeah, you'll
not in
have,
the strike zone. Leave it.
and this is the other thing as well, is that you can't be struck out off a ball you foul off, right? So the
Yeah.
first two foul shots that you play, which is any ball that goes behind you, basically, is a strike. But if you're on two strikes and you foul the ball, you can't be out. So you will be in a situation where you'll have a batter who will just keep trying to foul off balls, knowing they're not the ball that he can hit. Yeah. And you're that this is the thing where it comes down to nuance. So you're in a situation where you've got a pitcher will want to pitch between 80 and 110 pitches, and then he's done. Yeah. And the more pitches you can get the best pitcher to send down, the sooner he's going to have to leave the game because he's going to end up screwing his arm. And then I'll have to have this thing called Tommy John surgery, which is where you take another tendon and stitch it into your arm to fix it.
I've seen the pictures in slow motion and the rotation of the hips, shoulder, elbow. It's fucking horrible.
So you have to, the amount of wear it puts on your shoulder, you have to do that, right? So you want to have long at bats. You want to have a situation where you're trying to get the guy to play as long as possible, right? And then the other thing, like in terms of nuance, you'll have a situation where you'll have pinch runners, right? So you're in a situation where you're in a close game and you take someone out of the game. Because in baseball, when you substitute someone, they're substituted. They can't come back. They're like for like. That's it. So if you take someone out of the game, they're gone. But you'll have someone get on base, but they're slow at running. So you'll sub him out for your best runner, thinking, hang on a second, we've got one out in this innings. He could potentially tag up or steal to third and then tag up and run home if we get a sacrifice fly ball, right? And then you can win the game.
I've seen,
So
I
like,
can't remember who it was. It was a, I think they'd been in the Olympics and they played over 100 games, never fielded and never batted. I can't remember who it was that in a, as a pinch runner. I can't
yeah.
remember who was talking about it recently, but
But
it was like
obviously,
a, it was like a marquee signing thing. Like, look what we're doing. You know, when, is it who went to play for rugby league? Who was used to be a sprinter? He was shit.
Dwayne Chambers, he tried
Dwayne
it.
Chambers. Yeah.
Dwayne Chambers.
Yeah.
So you'll have. So I suppose that's the issue. But ultimately, I think, and this is the real important point for me, right, is that baseball is a much more cat and mouse game between batter and pitcher than T20 ever is, right? T20, although there is an element of that, and I think it's very interesting in its own way, but a much cleverer man than me, maybe it was a woman, trying not to be gender normative, I'll get in trouble with my 19-year-old daughter for doing that again, said that baseball's like a mini test match. And it really is. You know, like that's the thing. If you can spend your time to get past the, oh, this is boring, and you start understanding the nuances of it, that's great. And I think that's the barrier for baseball. As you go to a baseball game for the very first time, and you're there going, well, nothing's really happening here. Yeah. There's a guy swinging and missing and all the rest of it. And I don't fully understand the tactics or what people are trying to do and all the rest of it. Like I went in 2017 to see the Marlins. And the Marlins, I was doing a thing with them and they gave us some free tickets. And I gave free tickets to my boss to come along with his family. And nothing happened in that game. It was like nil nil going into the eighth inning, right? And he was just there going, why do you like this sport? It's dreadful. This is awful. And I'm like, oh no, it's really interesting. It's kind of like really interesting pitcher duel, you know, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think. There's too many gatekeepers, I think, in cricket, and too many gate, and to a certain extent, maybe in baseball, but I'm not involved in it enough to know that. I just sit and watch it in my office at home. I'm not on baseball Twitter, right?
I
But
suspect you've got the thing with baseball where you would have those gatekeepers in a baseball culture. Over here, the British baseball fans will be that, they'll be that sort of evangelical sort of thing
yeah.
where they're trying to get more people into this thing they like rather
Which is
than.
exactly the same with cricket in America with the guys that, you know, like Nate and Aman who do that Big Innings podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, cricket's great. Honestly, believe me, it's great. Just give it a chance. Yeah. Like, I feel sometimes, you know, you end up sounding like the guy who's trying to get your friend to try heroin for the first time. Honestly, mate, you'll love it.
Go on.
It's Moorish.
Yeah. Cancel what you're doing tomorrow. We'll have a fucking laugh. Let's go.
Yeah. So like, you know, there's stuff around it, right, that I think baseball tends to build to a really interesting conclusion, right? And I think I said something the other day. I was like, there is more to enjoy in a blowout cricket game than there is to enjoy in a blowout baseball game. Like the game I was watching from last night, the Rangers ended up winning it 7-1, right? And it was fine, but it wasn't great. But I actually think in a really close baseball game, there's almost more to enjoy and more cat and mouse because you're switching between batting and fielding so much more often than there is in a close 2020 game. Like cricket, like this is the thing that, you know, was something we've talked about a lot before, I've talked about a lot before with both of you. The amount of time people will be there going, oh, that's why Test cricket's amazing. That 45 minutes at the end was unbelievable. There was a game, I think, in like 2016, 2017. Azhar Ali scored a triple hundred against the West Indies in a pink ball test in the UAE. Yeah. And I watched every ball of it and was paid to do it and was very happy as a result. Being paid to watch cricket is ace, right? It's the best thing ever. But it was awful. It was an awful test match. Like nothing happened for 4.5 days,
Yeah.
more than. And then the last 2 hours were brilliant, and everyone tuned in and was like, this is why Test cricket's great. And I'm like, that was great. Everything that went before it, dull as shit, like wasn't interesting, you know. And I suppose ultimately, and this is what this conversation's really about, is the balance between bat and ball debate that we've seen a shift in in certain people's minds with this IPL, right? IPL becoming a 12-player game rather than an 11-player game has fundamentally changed what's possible as far as batting is concerned. Before, there was that stat, wasn't there, that if you end up 3 wickets down inside the power play, you'll lose 70% of your matches. But if you have another batter to come, that fundamentally shifts it, right? You can be more attacking for longer. And it isn't as important for you to be worrying about it because you've got another person who can bat. Now, I'm not sure I'm sold on the impact player rule. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's a thing, but my argument would be is that the change in the expected and average score in T20 going up doesn't make bowlers less important. It actually makes them more important because all of a sudden, if you can have a guy, you know, that the difference between a guy who, say, the best bowlers in the world go at 6.5 runs and over, and the average guy goes at 9, and the not great guy goes at 12. If all of those shift up by 2 runs, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't actually change the game. There's still a balance within it. If that's a concern, where it might be a concern is in red ball cricket, where it gets increasingly difficult to take wickets, et cetera, et cetera. We saw the Kookaburra ball experiment in the first 2 games of the season, where you saw a lot of runs and it being very, very difficult to take wickets. That, I think, is more of an existential issue for cricket than the average score at the IPL being 230.
Yeah. I've always been of the view that balance between bat and ball isn't a thing in white ball cricket at all. It's just not a thing to worry about. It does matter in red ball cricket because if it skews too far one way, you never get a result. And if it skews too far the other way, you get a farce. But in white ball cricket, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Because what was the... There's never been a time in cricket where there's been a balance between bat and ball. And this is where it's sort of like the other way around to baseball. And again, shows why it doesn't matter that in cricket is a game skewed towards the bat. You take any individual delivery in any game of cricket and you get the best bowler in the world against the worst number 11, the odds are that number 11 survives that ball. There is no 50-50 chance. There's no point in cricket where a bowler is as likely to take a wicket as not take a wicket. So there isn't what is the balance? And where people end up landing is that the balance between bat and ball is roughly where they feel it was about right when they first got into the sport.
Yeah.
So people who grew up watching one-day cricket in the 80s think that balance between bat and ball is scoring 230 for 7 off 55 overs. But if you grew up in the 90s, you think it's a little bit more than that. But none of them are balanced between bat and ball, and it doesn't matter. As long as both teams have the same conditions and the same opportunities, there is no balance between bat and ball and white ball cricket because it doesn't matter what that number is, fundamentally. It so makes no difference to the validity of the game, whether that's 4.5, 6.5 or 10.5.
There's a point there that comes from the book that Ed Smith wrote about called Playing Hardball. And what he was saying was, and the point he made at the beginning of it, is there's in cricket, there's an expectation that the batter will succeed. And in baseball, there's an expectation that the batter will fail. Yeah, that's ultimately what it boils down to. When you're walking up to the plate in an at-bat in baseball, 75% of the time, you're not going to achieve what you're trying to do. If you were in that situation and 75% of the time the expectation was that you would get out for naught, you would be me, not a professional cricketer. that would be the fundamental difference. So there is that element of that. But I think this is where, you know, this is the point I'm always, you know, like there's another thing that people say, be like, oh, do you know what? These days, who'd even want to be a bowler? As Pat Cummins earns $2.4 million for 7 weeks.
It looks shit being Pat Cummins, doesn't
it? Oh, it must be awful.
That
can you imagine?
Absolutely dreadful to me.
Oh, you know, all of a sudden, you turn up, you bowl 24 balls, and you go home again. Don't ever have to bat.
While looking like James fucking Bond.
And your match
being that ugly and talentless.
And your match fee is 150 grand a game. And the thing is, the interesting thing with the IPL in terms of salaries, I don't know if you read this, a piece by everyone's favourite Telegraph journalist, Tim Wigmore, hashtag Wigmore Watch. He wrote that piece about saying that IPL salaries are massively under what they should be. Yeah. Like if you compare it with what the percentage of revenue that's paid to players at other big leagues, it should be 2.5 times what they're getting paid. Right?
That's mad. Never thought of that.
Because the average, you know, this is a great, the only sport in the entire world, the only league in the entire world that has more money per game from its TV rights deal than the IPL is NFL. Right?
Mad.
That's how much money it's making. So these guys should be earning 2.5 times what they are. But the idea that you're a kid there and you're going, right, okay, so I'm going to be famous, get to fly around the world, do something I love, earn millions of dollars, but I might occasionally get hit for a six. So do you know what? I'm out. That's me done. You know, if people are going to do anything other than play forward defensive against me, I'm going to turn down the $2.5 million for 7 weeks' work. Come on.
Very good point.
Dave's made a point. Like, so much of this is about nostalgia and all the rest of it. And there's an element of, like, there's certain people. You know Kevin Kline's character in A Fish Called Wanda?
Yes. Right?
Who
this is taking a turn. I wasn't expecting that one. I was expecting Chris Gayle. I wasn't expecting Kevin Kline.
He reads Nietzsche, right? But doesn't understand it. But he does it just to be a poser because he's reading Friedrich Nietzsche, right? There's so much of that involved in people going, well, you know, I only really enjoy the first class stuff. I'm much, much happier being sat in the cold with my fellow retired people being grumpy about the cricket in April when no one else is there. And the thing is as well, like, I see it. I adore my
father. Is that your dad?
My father's a lovely man. He's not like that at all, right? He isn't that guy at all. But he's been a member at Surrey for 40 years, right? And he wants to go sit in his seat when he goes to the county championship. He's not happy when someone else is sat in his seat. He's not happy when it's busy. Yeah. He's 85 years old and he wants to go and watch the cricket, right? And there is, like, I just think if you were to actually be honest with yourself, sixes are fun, right? They're cool.
Yeah.
And if, like, and look, this is something else I've said for years. Cricket should either be played on an absolute road or a snake pit. White ball cricket, road, snake pit. And then I'm entertained. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't shift from one to the other between the innings, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. It doesn't change, you know, and it's not going to change across that time, you know. And that's where I think it's interesting if you start talking about, you know, how it's more, it's, you know, it's different if both teams are batting at different times of day. Does it make a difference in terms of where the lights are? The Glamorgan cricketers are absolutely convinced that it's much easier to bat when the lights are on in Cardiff than when it's not. Just if you, all of them would be like, yeah, it comes onto the bat so much nicer. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. They're in a better position to tell you than I am. But that's where it's interesting, right? You know, kind of whether or not, you know, in these warmer, more humid countries where you have dew come in and all the rest of it. But fundamentally, I think that kind of the issue, right, is that people are being concerned about the wrong thing. Yeah. Fundamentally.
Enormously cricket of them.
Yeah. And it's like, fundamentally, the success or failure of something is how much people want to watch it. Right. Mm-hmm. And last time I checked, the IPL isn't crying out for people wanting tickets to the games or people to watch on telly. Right, it's fine. Whereas perhaps there's other types of cricket that are struggling a little bit more for that interest and that engagement, you know. And maybe that's why, I don't know. Like, I don't. It's not, you know. And it doesn't help, I grant you. And I've got the same problem, Mick, that your brother has, in that I'm just a massive contrarian. Right. If everybody thinks something, I automatically want to start thinking the opposite.
But Molly Panesar is a good bloke, mate.
So, you know, I think that's where it's a bit frustrating in terms of, like, the people are trying to make a point, but they're using the wrong analogy with baseball. Because baseball, while you're swinging cross-batted, you're not always trying to hit it. You're trying to foul it off. You're trying to leave the ball, all the rest of it, right? But they have a concern about the shift in batting. And my argument has always been the reason why people hit more sixes nowadays is because they try and hit more sixes nowadays.
Yeah.
So you're saying
And
that
they train.
the shift is towards people trying to hit more homers.
The great American sport analogy, the three-pointer in
Right.
basketball, right?
Right.
Yeah. So they've looked at it and they've gone, right, okay, in a similar way, like and a six is even more valuable than a, well, no, same amount of more
It's a
valuable as a
similar
four.
sort of thing, isn't
Yeah.
it? It's that mid. If
33%,
you're going to
right?
take a
30.
risk to hit a
Yeah. Yeah.
four, take that risk to hit a six. And
Yeah.
that's what basketball worked out, wasn't it? That mid-range shot was a waste of time. Either take two very close to the basket or go for three because the numbers are in your favor. And there's those brilliant sort of charts they do, aren't there? The plotting where shots are taken 20 years ago versus now. And they look totally different because the mid-range shot has pretty much gone out of the game.
If you're lucky enough to spend time around cricket stadiums when cricket is a training, there will be a section of the training where someone is there doing the dog thrower thing for people and they're just trying to launch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they do. They'll spend 5, 10 minutes just launching the ball. Yeah. Just in the middle of the stadium trying to hit sixes. Now, if you were to ask a cricketer who was learning his trade and doing training in the 1980s, what the coach would have said if you'd said to him, right, sorry coach, but I'm gonna spend the next 10 minutes just trying to launch the ball out the net. Yeah, I don't think it would be something that would be approved of, right? So ultimately, I think you're moving more towards the point where T20 batting is, to use a poker term and a gambling term, solved. Yeah.
Right.
Now, the closest I think I've seen any player doing that is Henrik Claassen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's solved T20 batting, right? Because he goes along at a strike rate of 180 with an incredible amount of success, and he never looks like he's taking a risk. Yeah. Like he never looks like he's swinging off his feet or anything like that. Yeah. He's just so good and so consistent. And I think that's the point you're moving to. So what you need to have is you need to have a change in the way bowlers approach it to try and even that up. Now, as you said, it's not even necessarily about them evening them up. It's bringing them back in, bringing those scoring rates back down. But if it doesn't bring the scoring rates back down, and it's the same for both teams, that's where a sport relies, right? The imbalance is only important if you've got the Czech Republic playing against India in a T20. That's when you have an imbalance, right? That's where all of a sudden you'll have Virat Kohli scoring 300 because he's so much better than those players. We could do a whole podcast about people being angry about Virat Kohli averaging 60 with a strike rate of 150, to be honest. That would be quite good fun. But yeah, I mean, I suppose that's ultimately what it boils down to, right? Is that fear of change, things being different, the sport fundamentally being different from the sport that you fell in love with. And I suppose there's kind of a comfort in looking at a score and knowing whether or not it's defendable or not. You know, like, oh yeah, I think this team's gonna win, that team's gonna win. Like now, if you've got teams chasing down 265,
Yeah.
that's just a fundamental shift in how you think about the game, and maybe that makes people feel uncomfortable.
There's a yeah. There's a thing where that would be in so far that won't happen twice in one game, and then it keeps happening. You
There was a brilliant
know what I mean?
moment with Jess earlier that I was, why did Nick Webb, who's the BBC Glamorgan commentator, who I spend far too much time in my office with during the away games, just a constant noise in my life. But Sam Northeast was batting against Middlesex at Lords, and he made it to 120. And someone said, "Oh, he couldn't go on and score 400 again, could he?" Right? And Nick quite rightly said, "No, that was a once in a lifetime innings." And I was winding Nick up because I'm like, actually, it's biennial now that he scores more than 350, right? But that's the brilliant thing about sport—you never know what's going to happen. That's why it's cool. That's why we like
Yeah,
it. That's why we spend our
absolutely.
time
And
obsessing
it's
over it.
also a thing of mine with cricket is I think one of the very greatest things about cricket is that it is I think the most difficult sport in the world to answer the question, who's winning? I genuinely don't think there's any other sport in the world. I cannot think of one that's harder to answer that question. Because you've got one team doing one thing and then the other team doing that thing.
I think it always comes back to an if after that as well. So if you say, well, if they take another, or if these two
Add
they
two
took
wickets to the score.
all of that shit, you'd never say that in football. Who's winning here? Well, if it's 2-1, but if the other team scored two goals, they would be winning. You would never even think of that, would you? You
No,
just go, well,
you
look
wouldn't.
at the thing.
Oh, that's great. It's great. Like,
I'm
and the
not,
thing is, as
it's why I get grumpy about every attempt to sort of
well.
mechanically answer that question. Do you know what I mean? It's why I hate, WASP and Win Predictor and all that stuff, because it viscerally to me, that's the opposite. That's taking away cricket's pretty much its unique thing is that you can have two people who both know it, both, really knowledgeable, and they can be watching a game and they can have completely differing views about who's winning. And you can't have that in a game of football. If a team's 2-1 up, that team is winning, even if they don't deserve to be 2-1 up. They are winning that game.
So,
And in cricket, you can have a close of play score of 280 for five and have completely different views about who's on top in that game and both be completely valid.
well, the important thing as well, 280 for five, if you've got two batters with big scores for England not out, neither of them will score more than 3 runs from that point onwards.
as
The
is
Strauss
decreed.
rule. The Strauss rule. Yeah, I think you've got a really like the win predictor thing and the WASP thing, I think is really interesting because it exposes something else that I think is quite funny with the general public, which is a complete misunderstanding of statistics and like statistical illiteracy. Because people were there going, "What you like?" But Win Predictor said that they were an 80% chance of winning and they haven't won. I'm like, yeah, so they're saying 1 in 5, yeah. So 1 in 5 times they'll win this. That's not that rare. That's fine. Do you mean like one in five is not like a miracle? Yeah, it's 1 in 5. Because they're 80% chance of winning doesn't mean they're going to win. And as someone, as we've already said, who spends far too much time playing poker, right? I know being an 80% favorite doesn't mean you're going to win, right? It just doesn't, because that's not the way statistics work, right? That means 4 out of 5 times I win, but 1 out of 5 times you win. Right. And I think that always makes me laugh when people are there going, even 90%, 90% means still means that 1 in 10 chances.
It's only a 9-1 shot.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
And
nine
that's.
to one things happen all the time.
And I think any sports fan, if you were to express it as 9 to 1, yeah, or 7 to 4 or whatever, yeah, they'd find that easier to deal with
Yeah,
because
I
they're.
genuinely like one of my arguments against all that
That's
stuff
a really good point.
has always been that
People are used to that,
if you want an idea of who's winning, if you must have that, then look at Betfair.
Yeah,
Because you've
100%.
got the heart, that is an evidence of a hive mind at work. The Betfair market will rarely be far wrong as long as there's sufficient liquidity in it. And on a big game of cricket, there will be. That will tell you. If you must have an answer for who's winning, who's favourite on Betfair, they're winning at the moment.
But you've got, but as I was saying, it's like if the average punter will be there going, well, 9 to 1, I'll put a fiver on such and such to be the scorer at 9 to 1. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're drifting away from baseball. I've
Yeah,
got
we need to just very quickly go through what things that baseball things that cricket uses wrongly,
Yes,
if
please.
that makes sense. Because there's we've already established that, the six as any kind of equivalent to a home run is, just completely
What we've
wrong
not
as
talked
an
about, what we've
analogy.
not talked about is how much further a home run needs to go than a six. Yeah.
Well, that's the other part of it. Do you remember when the retired cricketers rocked up and had their little knockabout in some baseball stadiums? Because they obviously then put the pitch in the middle of the baseball stadium. They were hitting sixes all the time and setting off all the home run paraphernalia that goes off at a baseball ground. Because in a baseball game, that stuff goes off, like you say, once or twice a game, maybe not even. But it was going off every 5 minutes. There's a little train going round or loads of fireworks going off because you move it into the middle. One, you've obviously shortened every boundary. You've got access to every boundary instead of just a 90-degree arc in front of you. And it's a fuck of a long way, a baseball home. And there's nothing like it. There's no equivalent hit
Yeah,
in any
400
cricket
feet,
ground in the world.
350 to 400 feet is 100 to 120 meters. 100 meter six is
See, there
massive.
are sixes that have gone that far,
But your
but
average
not,
boundary is 65 meters.
but never
You're
that
not
have
quite.
needed to.
Yeah. The other interesting one with all of that is exit velocity. Yeah, and people taking catches with gloves, right? And I think fielding and the way people talk around fielding is really interesting because the exit velocity from a baseball bat is way, way higher than the exit velocity from a cricket bat, right? The ball's slightly lighter and you've got all of the power concentrated to a much smaller zone, right? With these rounded bats. An exit velocity will quite regularly be 115 miles an hour for a home run, not 98, 99 miles an hour. It's probably 80 or 85 for a cricket ball. It doesn't go anywhere near as quickly. But I think the whole glove thing's interesting. I mean, like something I know you've talked about before, Mick, is the fielding with gloves on and not fielding with gloves on.
It's when the reason I wanted to talk about it today was there was one, it was a backstop. Oh, do baseball fans get cross when a backstop's called a wicket keeper?
It a
It's a corner.
derogatory term?
Yeah.
I don't think. I think it would be a catcher rather than. Backstop would be. I don't think I've ever heard anyone refer to the catcher as the backstop, to be honest. But
But
anyway,
yeah,
go on.
so it was a full swing and it went straight up in the air, like 15 or 20 feet, something like that. And he went to catch it, collided with the batter who was trying to get out of the way, and his glove fell off. And he took a catch with two hands. And the commentator went mad, like it was an extreme thing to take a catch of that simplicity without a glove on. That's what
Yeah.
I'm talking about. When is it just because it happens so rarely? It's like, oh, without a glove on, rather than it being
Yeah,
that's
no, I
actually
mean,
smart.
it's just because the glove is such an important piece of equipment for the fielder, right? They use it all the time, so
Yeah,
them not
taking that
using
apart, taking that away from them means it's a
it's
diff
how you
not what they
train to
train.
field and catch a ball, isn't it?
Yeah, like
So
that.
you would never, as from a cricket background, it would never occur to you that the way to train to field and catch the ball is to always do it one-handed with your weaker hand, which is essentially what baseball players do, because your glove is obviously on your weaker hand, your non-throwing hand.
The
So
throwing as well is another thing with the I don't know the science of it and where like how much the seam plays into it as well, but when the accuracy and distance and speed at which baseball in and outfielders chuck the ball around,
and the nonchalance with which they do it.
it's mad. There was a fella and his name I can't remember. I did look at it the other day and I forgot because I'm shit, but he was basically had five stumps lined up and he was about 25 30 meters away facing away from the stumps and someone was just rolling the ball to him. He picked it up and he hit all five in a row and someone was commenting like just bat him number 11 and have him field at point and just run people out all day.
It's
Obviously it's too
I think I you know
silly.
the The throwing, I think, is the thing that any cricket fan would be blown away by if they watch baseball live. Yeah. I just think you'll be there going, Jesus Christ, that's fast. Yeah. Because it's so flat and so quick.
It's the flat,
But
yeah.
this is the thing, is that the speed with which you can get it there is so much more important than baseball because you're not aiming at a specific target, right? You're aiming at a much bigger area, which is a guy stood there with a glove, right? And
Yeah,
so the
can
key is for
move.
you to get it
Yeah.
there as soon as possible. But the accuracy is important as well, if the guy has to jump to come off the base or whatever, all of that stuff. Yeah, I think it's a cultural thing. Like I don't think it's necessarily, like you'll see baseball players taking the most amazing diving catches. And you'll have people there going, oh, well, did it with a glove on. What's that matter? I'm
Yeah.
like, yeah, it's still an amazing piece of athleticism, though. But like
Yeah.
the way that the positions I think that baseball players get themselves into to take catches is so interesting. Like, if you had a ball in front of you and you're diving to take a catch, a cricket player would dive forward with both hands to take it. Yeah. a baseball player is much likely to go forward with their feet and
Can't
get
get
the ball,
underneath it, isn't it?
get underneath it. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, it obviously changes it. And whether or not one's better than the other, I don't know. But I would say, having watched a lot of both sports, the athleticism that you see from outfielders in baseball is more impressive than the athleticism that you see from cricketers. Whether or not catching a cricket ball is harder or easier,
I think with that one, what it comes down to is, like you said, the throw-in that baseball fans in America would just completely take for granted. They go, well, yeah, of course he can flick it 60 yards flat to a bloke stood on a base. Whereas to cricket fans, you watch that and go, that's mad. And baseball fans, who with far less exposure to cricket, find the idea of catching the ball barehanded, you know, that is, to them, that's the impressive thing, because that's not what, they're not used to that. They're used to the nonchalant throw-in, but the idea of catching hard balls travelling quickly at, you know, with your bare hands, it's like, that's incredible.
Can I do a name drop again?
Of course you can.
Disappointed if you didn't, sir.
So, in 2017, I took Kane Williamson to throw the first pitch at a Miami
in
Marlins.
In a sweater!
In a sweater! And Kane was well up doing it. It was a lovely guy, like such a nice guy, and it was really nice. And people in there were blown away by his accent. It was really quite sweet. But he went out and threw the first pitch. And the guy, Sergio, who was like the PR guy for the Marlins at the time, came up to me and he was like, the coach came up and said, who's that guy? Yeah. And he said the coach knew straight away that Kane Williamson threw balls for a living.
Yeah, he was an athlete.
Like, immediately was like, okay, he can throw a ball. Yeah. Like, he knows the mechanics of how you're supposed to throw a ball. Right. So, there's obviously a massive parallels between the two, because ultimately it's about hand-eye coordination and being able to hit a ball. But yeah, so anyway.
Well, the reason Dave shouted out in a sweater was because I think it was ESPN had a play of the day thing.
It was in there. Yeah, the Sports like, Center top 10, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kane Williamson taking an amazing catch, barehanded. While wearing a jumper.
It was Kane Williamson's reply. It was
pretty chilly.
Oh my God, how did you do that? And in a sweater! And he goes, yeah, it's pretty chilly in Dunedin, a bit 15 degrees, so need to rip up warm. It was just, because Kane Williamson was like, I don't really know, what am I doing here? I don't know if anyone had told him. It was just this bloke bellowing at him about what clothing he was wearing.
So, you know, I mean, there is that parallel between the two. There's a brilliant photo of me talking as enthusiastically about baseball 7 years ago to Kane Williamson.
Is he asleep?
One of the nicest men in the world, trying really hard. It's taken from behind us, right? And he's trying really hard to look interested, bless him. And like, I feel for him, because I look back on that photo now and I just feel embarrassed for myself. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, here's someone who's interested. I think I'd forgotten that it was Kane Williamson at that point. It was just someone who asked me a question about baseball and I got all excited.
I've got a couple more things. I know there was a snorter the other day in the county championship. Can't remember who did it. Those return catch where he just chucked his hand out and it stuck. What you were talking about, the speeds as the ball comes off the bat in baseball, those return catches, if I'm ever flicking through something, just a little montage of them, and I think, right, well, they're definitely dead. Oh, they've caught it. They're mad.
Yes, it doesn't, and as well, it doesn't happen very often. You know, like it doesn't happen very often. More often than not, the pitcher will get out of the way, right?
Yeah.
Because he's just in the middle of throwing this ball.
It's also the position you're in at the end of your...
Yeah, it's like a bowler in his follow-through, isn't it? You're not in a ready catching position.
Yeah. No.
And the ball's coming at you crazy fast. Yeah. Like, and this is the thing, is that, like, genuinely hitting a baseball that's like, so this is the thing, right? So they talk about the difference, don't they, between an 85 mile an hour bowler and a 90 mile an hour bowler, and how much of a difference that makes. Yeah. Every baseball pitcher in Major League is going to have a fastball that's 90 miles an hour. Yeah. Probably 94. And you'll quite regularly have guys that are throwing their fastball at 97, 98 miles an hour away from 90 feet away. So about the same distance, probably about the same, give or take, right?
Yeah, it is one of the fascinating things, isn't it, that the timings are broadly similar. in terms of reaction time and the amount of time between pitch leaving the pitcher's hand or bowler's hand and arriving at the batter is not that different. It's just what it does on its way there. That, you
A
know,
baseball.
obviously a baseball moves loads more in the air, but you haven't got to worry about what it does off the pitch.
Here's a
Exactly.
question then. Question for
And a
Peter
baseball
Miller.
bat is much harder to hit a ball with than a cricket bat.
So, as a batter, is it harder to face a genuine fastball up top 90s or someone bowling 85 plus miles an hour reverse swing?
I mean, I've not really done either, so it's
No,
difficult for me to
they both
say.
sound really fucking hard.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things I see Americans say all the time that they that facing fastballs is the hardest thing anyone can do in any sport, and cricket is never in their conversation because they don't understand it, and which I think is fair enough. It's not like they're dismissing it; they're just not including it in there because they don't get it.
And I, you know, I
The
think
one
there
thing
is
I'd
kind of.
say there, sorry, is the slight there was a slight difference in that while as a baseball player you do have to be a little bit worried about getting hit, there's not in cricket the ball hitting you is a legitimate tactic, so there's that self-preservation element of if this hits me it's going to real fucking hurt, which you do still have in baseball. Because if it does hit you, it is still going to hurt, but the pitcher isn't, or isn't, at least isn't supposed to actively attempt to do that in the same way a bowler can. And
I'd love
I
it if the
think that, in
pitcher
terms
did.
of how difficult is this a thing to do, I think that is a legitimate element of it.
Something that happens in baseball that never happens in cricket, which I'd love to see, is the benches clearing, right?
Yes, could you imagine that?
Let's
Big
bring
terrace.
that. If it bring that into the art, I wish cricket was more like baseball.
Emma Stoney running
Let's have
out
benches
screaming.
cleared after a man card.
Yeah. Someone getting boxed with batting
Ashwin's a
gloves on.
man-carded butler. Both benches are cleared. Caps are being thrown on the ground.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would
Benches
be
cleared.
genuinely, that would be a brilliant thing.
Yeah, I think ultimately the difficulty is, right, and this is where it's quite a difficult question to answer, is the best possible baseball player, right, to get to the point of being the best possible cricket player. It's basically not possible to have both careers, is it? And we've seen a couple of people try it, right? Do you know what I mean? Like Kirk Edwards, the West Indian, had a go at
Yeah.
doing it. And there was a guy kicking, an American kicking around for a while who was there going, oh, I'm going to be a cricket player now. You know, and I remember there being a tweet, Jose Canseco, who's an interesting
I know him
character.
from The Simpsons.
So Jose, people have
93% of my baseball knowledge is from
yeah,
one episode of The
one
Simpsons. One
episode
episode of The
said,
Simpsons. The
grotesquely
Daryl
swollen jaw.
Strubble. Daryl. he was like, oh, I've just watched cricket. Get your best hitters to come and try and hit baseballs with me. And I think I remember adding Kevin Peterson and Chris Gayle in it years ago on this tweet going, please, boys, let's go do this. It'd be top
Yeah.
luck. But, like, you know, there isn't anything to say that Chris Gayle, an absolutely massive unit of a man who can hit sixes for fun, wouldn't have been amazing at baseball if he'd been born in Jamaica, Queens, rather than Jamaica. Do you know, like, you know, it's just, that's just. I mean, we've talked about this before, haven't we, boys? If you're good at sport, you're good at sport.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I ended up, I'm terrible at golf, really bad at it. I quite enjoy it. I know I shouldn't, right? And I have occasionally, bearing in mind that my job's in cricket, been at like a driving range when there's cricketers there. And it is the most embarrassing thing in all of the world. Yeah.
What cricket is like in golf, it
Well,
is the
that,
most
but
embarrassing thing in
also
golf.
just like these people whose job it is to hit things for a living, being really good at hitting things for a
Yeah.
living.
That one
Like,
doesn't
it's.
even move.
Well,
Piece of
this is
piss
like,
golf. That's the worst thing about it. Absolute piece of piss. Easy game.
easy game, rubbish. But yeah, you know, like this is the thing, is if you're good at one sport, chances are you'll
Yeah.
be good at another,
Yeah.
you know?
You've probably got hand-eye
We
coordination, haven't you?
talking about our friend Chloe's other half and her obsession with being amazing at stuff.
Yeah, he's well trying to break his own fingers because we'd be hit a golf shot into a bush. Lovely
My
lad.
favorite quote of his, we're way off topic now.
Yeah.
But when we were playing football golf on a stag do, which none of us had ever played before, but he was good at football and good at golf, and assumed therefore that he was going to be good at
I
football.
also knowing Rob, for weeks before that, he would have taken a football down the rec and done some trying to
Yes.
see how straight you could do his drives.
He sliced this tee shot into some bushes, and he was just walking down the fairway, fuming. And he just turned to me and he just said, "Dad, the thing is, though, there's just no point doing anything if you're not going to be really fucking good at it." And it's just, no one's character has ever been more perfectly summed up in one sentence than that. What about just
I'm
doing something
sure
for fun? No.
the
chances of either Chloe or Rob making it all the way through this podcast to hear
yeah
that
I think
story
no, no
is
absolutely
probably
not
quite slim. I mean, to be honest, at this point, it's probably only three of us that will ever hear
yeah
this, right?
and it should
that's
also
true
be made clear that Rob is a wonderful man.
yeah lovely
I'm
man
very much looking forward to seeing both of you and Chloe this weekend. So,
yeah I think that's enough. Has anyone else got anything?
we didn't talk about bunts.
Oh, bunts. Let's talk about bunts.
Because
Yeah, bunts.
cricket's fucking off its tits with bunts. Because a bunt in baseball, very, very specific thing with a very, very specific goal. And in cricket, it's just used for a shot that gets hit down to long on or long off, which is nothing remote. I bunts it down to long on for one. That's not a fucking bunt. This is part of the reason I can't get fully into baseball, because look how annoyed
Yeah.
I am
Is
about
a is
fucking
a is a
bunts.
bunt is just where you use your bat to stop
The
it,
thing is,
drop it dead.
the reason why it really fucks me off, Mick, is that we have them in cricket.
A forward
They
defense.
exist. Little tip and run.
Right.
That's a bunt. Drop it at your feet. Scamper through for a single. Cricket has the equivalent of a bunt, but we don't call that a bunt. So we call something else a bunt that's basically a fucking base hit. And that's why I can't get into baseball.
Yeah. Your Honor.
I'm already rattled enough. I don't need to care more about baseball than I already do.
I would just say to finish it off, if genuinely genuinely, I think you would, rather than just looking derisively at baseball, I'd actually think it's quite a fun game to watch. There is a danger though, and I will say this, and it's Dave's 100% right, that just like cricket, there is an absolute danger that you just get completely obsessed with it. And you'll find yourself sat there at a family meal in a restaurant, and you're wondering whether or not there'll be space for Leody Taveras in the Rangers batting lineup once Josh Young's fit because of how well Josh Smith is playing.
Yeah.
So
So in summary, don't get into baseball.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, thanks everyone. We'll see you again. Bye.
Bye.